people are starting to return to work, as our own Lauren Lapka did today. It's an interesting situation that is developing because there is this whole idea of sort of out of sight, out of mind that goes on in terms of your professional career, what happens when you're away from the office, and it's the bosses may still be in the office, but you're not there. And then are you getting your work done? Are you getting your work done right? Even if you are getting your work done right, are you still getting the credit that you want for the work that's being done? These are concerns that people have who are at home, who are working from home now. And we have with us now the accidental career coach, Diane Huth. And she is DianeHuth.info is where you can find her. HireMeNowPlease.com is also her website. And let's talk about these specific issues here, because if you are working from home, how are you able to still sort of market yourself within the office, which is always a really important thing in a lot of white-collar jobs?
Right. Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much. Yes, one of the things that's happening with the work at home, or I call it work from wherever, because it's going to free us to untether us from the office eventually, is video calling. And everybody has to get really good at video calling. It's the best way to bridge the distance and feel connected and look connected and seem connected with your office, your boss, your customers, your team. So that's one of the things, is really learn video conferencing skills. And there's so many free platforms out there. Zoom is wonderful, Skype, lots of different ways that you can use video calling to bridge this distance and not feel so isolated.
Right. But there is still that isolation that is real, right? I mean, some people are in professional peril because a lot of these companies are going to pare people down anyway. They have to, because of the way that the economy is going and the business is going, at least in the short to medium term. So how can you stand out on Zoom, for example?
Well, one thing is, and I actually coach some of my senior executive coaching clients who want to work remotely, and the company's trying to force them to move to corporate headquarters. Use video calling all the time instead of the phone. It makes you feel that you're there. Learn the professional skills, how to look good. There are tips, and I actually have a video on my site, DianeHuth.com, on how to look good, how to position your camera, how to do lighting, what kind of a background you want, et cetera. So there's our tips, but learn how to master video calling so you come across looking professional and acting professional. And it'll make the world of difference if you are lucky enough to still have a job and you can connect to the corporate office that way. And with customers, I mean, if you're in a sales position or a customer service position, just think how you can reach across the isolation that they're feeling while they're home also. And so learning to really just use video calling instead of phone calling or instead of text messaging or emails is going to be a really important tool you can use.
Okay. Should people get dressed up for the video call? And what's appropriate? The exact same stuff you'd be wearing in the office? Or does that look like you're sucking up too much, or it's not real? Or certainly, what should you avoid? What should you do?
If it's a call with the team that you're working for, then business casual. But one of the things that happens psychologically is if you're, you know, in your bunny slippers or, you know, your boxer shorts or whatever, you don't come across as competent, you don't feel as competent, somehow you don't express it. If you are dressed appropriately, business clothing for an important business call, you will feel better and present yourself better. I have makeup and my hair fixed for this call, so I will feel like a professional.
Right. Well, and that really is part of the thing, too, is just about how you feel when you get out of bed in the morning and you're not getting in your car, you're not getting on a train or whatever and heading into a business. You're walking into your kitchen or your dining room or wherever. Maybe you got a home office or whatever, but whatever it is, you're not going through that mental preparation that sort of ritual takes you through. Is there some other trick to getting your head into that space?
I think that it's really good to set up having structure and having office hours. I actually, for a long time, I posted office hours on the door to my office, and I would shut the door when I wasn't going to be there. So you want to create sanity working at home. A lot of times you don't have a lot of room, but make an area that's your work area while you're at home and set office hours to give yourself boundaries. I'm really bad at boundaries because I work 24/7, but that's not healthy, and especially if you have a young family at home. So set up, create a structure for working at home so that you can have time for family, but you get in the zone of working and finding your place in the office, and so you try and segregate it. I think that will help a lot.
All right, Diane Huth is who we're talking to. She is the accidental career coach, and we're giving some people some professional advice here. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. And the it's hard, right, to be in a circumstance where you're at home, you're not in the office, you don't get to see what's going on. And they're starting to stage these things as people are coming back to the offices in pieces. Like today, for example, Lauren returned, our traffic reporter, Lauren Lapka, returned to her microphone in the station where she had been, at home for the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it has been. And you get to, and she has already admitted to incredible joy to being back in the office. And I would imagine that people who are coming back are going to be joyful. But are there tricks to coming back, do you think?
I think if you try and stay connected while you're out of the office, it'll be a lot easier. And just be respectful of other people's emotional place where they are and their fears. Everybody's fearful. This is a time of fear. But I think it's a time of hope also because there are a lot of, people are in trouble job-wise. But there's new opportunities that are coming up. And I see people changing careers. And one of the words I'd like to give your listeners is to pivot. Pivot doesn't mean stop dead. It means go in a different direction at a different angle. And as we are all unsettled, and this has been a crazy time, everybody's, off center, try and keep momentum, keep going forward, just doing it a little bit differently. So I think it's really important that we start using this time, if possible, if you are at home, to start getting ready for whatever this weird job market's going to happen, because we don't know. It's an unknown. There's 30 million people out of work right now, and who knows if they're coming back to work or not. So we need to use this time very productively. Put down the remote. I know we've been binge-watching TV. Get your feet out of the quicksand, and let's make plans to move forward with your career and be prepared for whatever's going to happen, because we don't know, but you can take steps right now to be prepared. I hope that helps everybody.
Okay, so what steps would you suggest?
Well, I think first you have to get your job search skills together. You need to have a resume up to date. And, they changed the rules about 10 years ago and didn't give us all a memo. They changed the whole job search process to be an online digital with robots that actually eliminate algorithms, really, that eliminate 3/4 of the resumes before a human being ever sees them. So you need to write a different kind of resume. LinkedIn is critical. You have to have a good LinkedIn page, and your LinkedIn page needs to match your resume because they actually pull them up on the computer and look at them side by side, and they can find people who cheat that way, who mm-hmm. Are covering up information. LinkedIn is critical, and you really need to learn how to interview for a job today. Part of it is video interviews. There's going to be a lot more video interviews, but just the whole process of interviews. And nobody teaches these skills. Did you ever have a class in how to negotiate a salary? I didn't. Nobody taught me how to be successful with job interviews. It's very expensive lessons that we've learned over time. And we want people to learn those skills so that they're going to be equipped to deal with whatever happens.
So what do you suggest in terms of like the video interview? Because that's daunting for people. People don't necessarily like, you're getting more used to it now, but don't necessarily like being on camera, and then they see themselves in the box and they're staring at the box and they're staring at themselves. They're not staring into the camera, which I have found to be one of the more important things that people can do when they're communicating, like on a Zoom call. If it's your turn to say something, I think it's really important that people look into the camera, because then they become the focus of what everybody else is doing just for that moment, and that's important. Otherwise, it looks a little, if you're looking off, it gives the viewer a different impression.
I think the best thing is to practice. Start using video calls with your family. Talk to your mom. Talk to your kids. Talk to your friends. Get together for a Friday night happy hour and drink wine long distance together or something like that. But start using video. Everybody hates video. The first time you do a video,
everybody's lousy. The second time, you're only half as lousy. But by the time you've done 10 or 15 and you've looked at them, all of a sudden you get the skills, it's more comfortable. So the thing is to practice, rehearse. Don't make that all-important job interview the first time you do this and you mess up the technology and the background's not right, the lighting's not right. Work on it right now. Spend your time every day video calling with somebody. And it can be a pleasure thing, but learn the skills.
Okay, so the background. This is very interesting. You get to see how people live, right? We're finding this out about all of our favorite people on television right now. You get to see how they live, whether they're minimalists or they're pack rats, or they've decided that they're going to stage something in back of them to make them look more professional. And then there's also like Zoom offers you the ability to change your background. You could be, you know, on a beach, or you could be doing that sort of stuff. What do you suggest for people who are either in a professional environment and need to continue? They want to continue to be in that professional environment, and they're being judged basically. You know, every day, your job now is not just your boss walking by your office, making sure that you're walking by your desk or whatever, making sure that you're doing your job. Now it's more than that, right? It's now they're watching you on that little screen and they're judging you from that. How can you increase your chances?
Well, first thing, have a nice background and set the stage. I have in front of my computer. If you look from my computer back, you're going to see my bed, okay? I'm in an upstairs apartment. I don't want people to see my bed and my jewelry. So I have a stack of boxes that when I go to do a video call, I pull it around and then I rotate my laptop on a stand so you see a backdrop in the back. And I have a plant because I have a big wall plug about desk high above the high, and I don't want you to see that. So I put a plant in front of it, and I've got a picture to add interest. So I set a stage, and that is my video area. Okay, so you just set, and you need like 6 feet. You need a 6-foot wall, and then you stage your background and make sure you have it set up professionally. And then you want good lighting. A lot of people don't know about lighting. I have a ring lamp, but you want 2 sources of light so that you don't have lots of shadows. And if you have like a desk lamp, I have a desk lamp, and when I turn it on, it's too bright, so I tape a piece of paper over the front of it to manage it so you have the right amount of light. So you need to play around with light. If you are by an open window, you don't want to be in front of an open window because then you'll be backlit, but you want natural light, but then you want to control how much. So you need to practice this, you know, with your family and friends. And the key thing that everybody does wrong is the camera angle. The best, most attractive way is to have your camera about 4 inches above your eyes. If you hold your camera in your lap like everybody does, everybody sees your chins and your waddle and all that kind of stuff. It's very bags under your eyes. You need your camera up 4 inches above your eye wherever you're sitting. And so I've actually like propped boxes up on my desk to sit my laptop at the right angle. I now have a little metal, like a stand with feet that I can move it around so I can get the right angle height-wise that way. But you know, learn those tips. And if you and I have a video, I'll be glad to, you know, share it with anybody on how to do this right, because it's very important that you have it right. You also have to be careful if you're videoing on an iPhone. If you're doing like Facebook, you can do Facebook things. Sometimes the cameras want you to go portrait up and down, or landscape, so they're going to have a different, you know, the orientation. So you want to make sure you have the right orientation that's going to fit in whatever you're using your video for.
I also suggest that if you can avoid it, don't have a door in back of you, because doors make people uncomfortable. If you've noticed, the only successful sitcom ever that had a door in it was The Honeymooners, and that was because it was just a way, because the staging was so small on that. If they were to do that over again, they wouldn't have done it exactly that way. But it, like a door is a very, because when you, and it's a static shot, right? I mean, you're just sitting there and wherever it is, if you can avoid that, because the it distracts the viewer. Because the viewer is wondering, is that door going to open? What's behind that door? Is that a closet? Is that something else? You know, it's like you want to give people as little a chance to daydream about what it is that is in back of you. Because it is weird, man. And I think the less that your bosses know about how you're living, or that your coworkers know about how you're living, if you're not friends with them necessarily, I think that That just helps. It's the mystery of it. And really it's got to be about the individual as they're sitting in front of that camera, right? I mean, it is so weird because I'll tell you, Diane, we would not have been having this conversation 2 months ago, right?
No.
This is all brand new. And the fact that we have to do this now in most businesses that are not, where you don't have to be there, the businesses that, you know, afford the employees the luxury of working from home. And there's a lot of them, right? I mean, there are a lot of the call centers and places like that. You call your insurance agent or your banker or whatever. They're not sitting at the, you know, somebody, whatever it is. They're not at their office anymore. They are at home and they might be in their pajamas. And I do actually ask if these are people that have anything to do with my well-being. I want to know what they're wearing, because what we have learned is even the TV people are not wearing pants. And that is not right. That is just not right. And I think it does say a lot. I mean, if a boss is on a call, and then I've been at a couple of these, you know, throughout the last couple of weeks, and you know, there are people who are like actively not paying attention, and it's easier to check them out because the bosses are scrolling through all of the pictures. You know, they're looking at who's on board and who's not when they're not talking. And that is a reality that people have to deal with. All right. And very quickly, before we let you go, I want to go back to this idea of the resume, because you said something that is really fascinating. The LinkedIn resume and the real resume is people may have to be out there shopping themselves moving forward here. What pitfalls can people avoid when they submit a resume to these online services so that they don't get taken out by the algorithm?
Well, a couple of things. First is there's four different screening processes before you actually get to talk to the hiring manager. The first is the ATS applicant tracking system, and that is a computer algorithm that does a keyword match. So you need to make sure that you have the right keywords that match the job description that is listed in for the company. And I actually write resumes with a career objective that uses the same words and repeats or parrots the same words, so you have a keyword match. So the computer's job is to kick out 75% of all resumes, because the companies get inundated with so many applications that it's too much to look at. So the job of the computer is to get rid of 75% of them. So you need to get through that with a key, making sure you have the right keywords and you have the right descriptions. The second thing you need to do is have a summary of credentials at the very top, and these are your hard skills, because after the resume, it goes through the robot. An online recruiter is going to spend on average 7.7 seconds scanning your resume. Yes, no, yes, no. Going to spend 7 seconds before throwing your resume or setting it aside. So you have to have all the key information, the degrees, the credentials, the certifications, the companies that you've worked for. Key hard skills have to be in a summary of credentials on what I call above the fold or the top half of your resume, because he's never going to get to the back of your resume. He's not going to get to the bottom of the first page. So you have to have a summary of credentials that puts that hard data real easy up front so they can see it. And then the third thing is we have to have resumes where you're typically talking about achievements. Everybody talks about tasks, responsibilities, and activities. And instead, talk about what you achieved in your role. So if you wrote, I did this program, okay, the question is, so what? What did it achieve? Well, it helped us gain 10% market share. Okay, you drove 10% market share by implementing a new XYZ program, right? So you have to convert what we think of what we do every day in activities and roles and responsibilities into action-oriented achievements that you quantify. And my tip is use a number, a percentage, or a dollar sign to quantify it. And that makes your resume come alive, because when you quantify it like that, people can envision, they can visualize that achievement, as opposed to just blah, 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 words, 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 words in a resume.
Got it. Diane Huth, who is the accidental career coach, hiremenowplease.com is her website, or Diane Huth, HUTH.info. Thank you so much, Diane. Appreciate your time.